The following is a home program given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 29th, 2010 in Melbourne, Australia.
Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Dam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, we have a very great opportunity. We have gotten this form of life after millions and billions of lifetimes in the cycle of birth and death. Millions and billions of lifetimes. In the 8,400,000 species. Jalaja Navalakshani Stavala Lakshavinshati Krimayo Rudra Sankhya Kya Pakshinam Dashalakshanam Trinchalakshani Parshavaho Chatur Lakshani Manasaha. It is described very nicely in the Vishnu Purana that there are 8,400,000 different species. Jalada, born in the water. Water, literally, water born. Jalaja. Nava, 9 lakhs. Jalada Nava Lakshani. Stavala Lakshavinshati, 2 million types of stationary plants and trees. Krimiya Rudya Sankhya Kya, 1,100,000 worms and reptiles. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, 1 million types of birds. Trinksha Lakshani, Parshavaha, 3 million types of beasts. And Chatur Lakshani Manashaha, 400,000 different types of human species. So we've gone through many, many, many births, and we've finally gotten this human birth. Unfortunately, around us is a world civilization where practically no one realizes the opportunity of this human lifetime. They take this human lifetime as another opportunity to gratify the senses, that's all. What is the difference between a man and an animal? And they say that man is a rational animal. But what is the proper utilization of that rationality? Atato brahma jigyasa, it is enjoined in the Vedanta Sutra. If the human being does not utilize his rationality for inquiring about the Absolute Truth, if he uses his rationality simply to make more polished arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then he's no different than an animal. He is called polished animal. That's all. Rusty animal and polished animal. Animal means animal. Polished or unpolished. He is animal. So if he lives as animal in his human form, what kind of body do you think he will get in the next life? Do you think he'll get a human form? No. If the human being lives like animal, in his next birth he will become animal. Dog, monkey, pig, camel, cat, something like that. He become animal. So it is a great tragedy that after coming through so many millions of species of life and coming to the human form, now he's becoming an animal in his next life. It is such a horrible tragedy. Therefore, Krishna tries to save. He tries to save these poor souls. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam madharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a kind religious practice, and an increase of your religion, at that time I descend myself. So Krishna wants that everyone should become religious. Religious means to be relinked with the Supreme. We are meant to be linked with the Supreme. In our original pure state of consciousness, we are linked or dovetailed with the Supreme through the process known as bhakti, or devotional service. But that bhakti, it is not by force. That bhakti is voluntary. If I force you to love me, can you love me? I say, you better love me or I'm going to smash you with my fist. Can you love me? No. Love means, if I want you to love me, I have to give you my love, my loving kindness, you see, to inspire you to love me in return. I cannot force you to love me. You see. So, God does not force. Because he wants our love, he does not force. He gives us the free will to love him or to leave him. And if we misuse that choice, then there has to be the opportunity to misuse it. If you don't have the opportunity to misuse your free will, then it's not genuine free will. You understand? For free will to be genuine, there has to be a real possibility that you can misuse it. Otherwise, it's not free will, it's imitation free will. Real free will means there's a chance that you can misuse that free will. So, as long as there's a chance that that free will can be misused, we might misuse it. The odds of misusing it are very, very small. I was discussing with a mathematician the other day in Sydney. 1/∞, that is the odds of misusing one's independence. The smallest possible fraction, 1/∞. But if you take the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world, you take the smallest possible fraction of infinity, And it was confirmed by the mathematician. That equals infinity. So therefore we see in this material existence an infinite number, an unlimited number of living entities who have misused their independence. So Krishna, being very kind upon these poor souls, including ourselves, who have misused our independence, he comes personally, he sends his pure devotees, he sends the great acharyas to save us, to rescue us. He sends the spiritual master to save us from our foolishness, to save us from our suffering condition. So if, having gotten that good fortune of coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, having come in contact with the bona fide teachings of Krishna, if one does not take advantage of that mercy, that incredible good fortune, that is the greatest tragedy also. So all of you who have now come in contact with this greatest good fortune, the teachings of Krishna, delivered through a bona fide disciplic succession of authorized teachers who are purely presenting those teachings not only in theory, but how to practice them perfectly. You who have gotten this opportunity now, you must take it. Otherwise it is the greatest tragedy. You must take it. You must seriously take this pathway. That for millions of lifetimes I was struggling. Now I have come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. I have gotten the seed of bhakti, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadai Pai Bhakti Rata Bij. One living entity, after wandering through countless eons of lifetimes in the cycle of birth and death, somehow or other, if he is fortunate by the mercy of Guru and Krishna to get that seed of bhakti planted in his heart, then there's no greater good fortune than that. He is the most fortunate soul. So, now that we have this seed of bhakti by the mercy of Guru and Acharyas and Vaishnavas, we must water that seed. If you plant a seed in your garden and you do not water it, will that seed grow or will it die? It will die. That's a fact. That seed will die if you don't water it. And if you don't weed it, if you don't weed that garden, what will be the result? Even if you water it, if you don't weed it, what will be the result? What grows more quickly, more voraciously than the plants, the weeds? They suck up all the moisture, they suck up all the nutrition, and they choke out the plant. So we must water that seed by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We must weed that garden by extracting the weeds of illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication and gambling. And we must protect that weed. Not that weed. We must protect that creeper from the hatimata, the mad elephant, which can come and trample it. Do you know what is that mad elephant that can trample the bhakti creeper? That is called Vaishnav Apara. So, how does one avoid being offensive towards Vaishnava, committing aparad toward Vaishnavas? It's Simply, one has to always be respectful towards the Vaishnavas. That's a simple formula. Krishna confirms in the Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parto, na me bhakta shtite janaha. Mad bhaktanam te ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, if you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. Pretty heavy, huh? If you are my devotee, he says, you are not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. So if we want to not be offensive towards Vaishnavas, we have to become the devotees of the Vaishnavas. Therefore we bow down at the Vaishnavas' feet. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhye vacha patidanam bhavane vyo vaishnave vyanamanama. We serve the Vaishnavas. Not mechanically that here, have your prasadam. No. With love. My dear Prabhu, what would you like for your prasadam? Can I give you more of this preparation? Can I give you more of that preparation? Are you satisfied, Prabhu, with your prasadam? Would you like some of this? In this way, you see, with loving feeling, you must serve the Vaishnavas. Not some duty you have to get over with so you can go sleep. You see. So in this way, if we serve the Vaishnavas with love, then we will be in the proper mood in which Krishna can fully manifest himself within our hearts. In other words, if you want to make the apartment of your heart ready for Krishna to come and move into that apartment of your heart, then you have to invite the devotees first. You say, no devotees are welcome in the apartment of my heart, only Krishna. And Krishna will never come. But if you pack, just like we are packed here tonight in this apartment, if you will pack your apartment with love for the Vaishnavas, then Krishna will come and squeeze in. Be very happy to squeeze into that apartment. It's filled up with so many Vaishnavas. Loving relationships with so many Vaishnavas, you see. The more you can love the Vaishnavas, the more Krishna will become attracted to bestow upon you his causeless mercy. Therefore, this society, founded by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, is the greatest blessing, the greatest mercy, the greatest gift of God upon the suffering people of this planet. We simply have to enter into this house of ISKCON as loving brothers and sisters. We simply have to enter into this house of ISKCON and dedicate our heart and soul to this family of Prabhupada. You see, that's how we will attract Krishna, to bestow his unlimited causeless mercy upon us. So we have so many activities to do together to develop our loving relationships with each other, so Krishna will be attracted to enter into our hearts. We can give gifts to each other. We can accept gifts from each other. We can reveal our mind to each other. We can hear others when they reveal their mind to us. We can distribute prasadam to the Vaishnavas. We can accept the Vaishnava when he offers prasadam to us, accept the Vaishnava when he offers that prasadam. In this way, these wonderful exchanges of love given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Our Prabhupada is Prabhupada because he's totally dedicated to Rupa Goswami Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada. One time, Prabhupada told one disciple, he said, move Prabhupada. They didn't know what he They couldn't understand what he was talking about. Does Prabhupada want me to move him? It was a picture of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura. He said, you should move Prabhupada. So we're so used to thinking of Prabhupada as A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, but he was talking about his spiritual master. For him, you see, Prabhupada was not thinking, I am Prabhupada. He's thinking, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura, he is Prabhupada. You see. The Pure Adi, you see, he never thinks he's a great personality. The spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master, never thinks, oh, I'm a great personality, I deserve to be worshipped. He never thinks. He feels himself to be a despicable rascal, actually. But I have this service my spiritual master has given me. So I must accept disciples, I must train them in the path of Krishna Bhakti. So this wonderful system of Krishna consciousness, it will bring us out of the darkness of ignorance. Just like that Vedic injunction, Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama. Do not remain in the darkness, come to the light. The beautiful thing about this light of Krishna consciousness, because when that dawning of Krishna consciousness comes, then everything becomes brilliantly illuminated. Brilliantly illuminated. Kyanena tu tad agyanam yesham nashisham atmanaha. Tesham madityam vajjanam prakashayati tatpadam. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge lights up everything, just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. There's no darkness for a person who has awakened their Krishna consciousness. There's no confusion, delusion, illusion. Everything becomes illuminated. He never feels he's in any kind of darkness because everywhere he connects with Krishna. He sees Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna. This is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30. Yo mam pushyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pushyati. Tashaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So that's the place to be. That's the place to be. We have to purify our consciousness. Because is there any place where Krishna is not present? Is there anything that exists outside of Krishna? No. This whole city of Melbourne, it exists within Krishna. And Krishna is within every cubic inch of this city. There's no place anywhere in this material world where Krishna is not present. So why are we not feeling his presence? I can tell you why. Lust, anger, greed, madness, mada, illusion, moha, matsarya, envy. Because of these six enemies, we are not feeling the presence of Krishna at every minute. These anartas in the heart, they are blocking us from associating directly with God, from having direct, personal, constant contact with that supreme, all-powerful, all-beautiful, all-renounced, all-wealthy, all wise and are famous, amazing, splendorously magnificent, mellifluous personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is most important that we get rid of these anarthas. Therefore, on the path of progressive advancement in Krishna consciousness, the most important step is called anartha nivritti. The very beginning step is shraddha, or faith. From faith, then one thinks, this process is very nice. Let me associate with devotees, that's sadhu sangha. And by associating with the devotees, you learn that it is required to become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master in order for Krishna to accept my service. It is required to become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master to become empowered to conquer the anarthas which are blocking my Krishna consciousness. So, when one realizes and learns these things, then he takes the next step, which is initiation. This is called bhajana kriya, to engage in devotional activities, the first one being getting initiated. Rupa Goswami stresses the importance of initiation. In fact, he states the first three items for practicing Krishna consciousness are as follows. 1. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. That's the first step for one who wants to engage in bhakti. The first step is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. This is described in the Nectar of Devotion. The second step is to become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. And the third step is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So, by taking up the bhakti path, as given by Rupa Goswami and clearly elucidated by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, then one will come to the stage of anartha nivritti, where you're cleaning house of all the dirt accumulated for thousands and millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions and sextillions, octillions. You get the idea of lifetimes. You cannot count how many lifetimes you've been accumulating dirt in your heart. You cannot count. It's uncountable. But if you will become initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, by his grace, by the empowerment that he gives you to conquer your mind, to conquer your lust, your anger, your greed, your madness, your illusion, and your envy, you'll be able to cross through that stage of anartha nivritti and achieve that wonderful state which is called nishta. Now you're a fixed-up devotee, you see. In the beginning, we practice Krishna consciousness, but there's so many interruptions. We're being interrupted again and again by this thought, that thing, that thing. So many interruptions. But when you cross through anartha nivritti and you become tanishta, there's hardly any interruptions at all. Very, very rare is your Krishna consciousness ever interrupted. Very, very rare. It's practically 24 hours a day, Krishna consciousness. And then you go to the higher stages where you develop ruchi, a sweet, sweet taste. You realize the sweetest, sweetest taste of Krishna consciousness at every minute. Even rarer then are the interruptions. And then from there you go to the asakti stage, where you actually realize who you are in the spiritual sky. You actually realize what is your swarup. And then you go to the bhava stage where you begin to actually have loving exchanges with Krishna, which become fully matured in the final stage called Krishna Prema. So, the present time, the neophyte, he is struggling with anartanavritti. Don't give up the struggle. Don't give it up. Don't become discouraged by the struggle that so many times I want to be Krishna conscious, but my mind is disturbed by this, I'm interrupted by this thing, by that thing, worrying about livelihood, worrying about family relationships, worrying about health. Keep pushing on. Keep pushing on. Don't give up. It is sometimes said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So be strong, be determined to push on with Krishna consciousness in spite of all obstacles. If you show the determination of that little sparrow, do you know the little sparrow? Do you know the story of the little sparrow? Do you know? There was one little sparrow, and she was a mother sparrow. She had some baby sparrows who were still in their eggs. They hadn't hatched yet. So the mommy, she is very attached to her little children. So the ocean thought to play a trick on the little sparrow, and he stole the eggs from the mommy sparrow. That little mommy sparrow, she was so disturbed. She demanded the ocean, "You give back my eggs." He refused to give back the eggs to the mommy sparrow. So that mommy sparrow, she was determined, "I will dry up this ocean and get back my eggs." So she would go down to the ocean. She would take some drops of water and she would run back to the land. And she would put that water on the dry land. She'd run back down to the ocean, take some drops of that water, run back to the land. And this way she was going back and forth with the determination that I will dry up that ocean. Everyone was laughing. Just see that stupid little bird. She'll run herself to death. She'll never dry up that ocean. But then, do you know who is the big brother of the birds? Do you know? I'm asking you. Do you know who is the king of the birds? You don't know who the king of the birds. His name is Garuda. You have heard of Garuda? Oh, he's a big, powerful bird. He has all mystic power. He's the carrier of Lord Vishnu. They even named an airline after him, actually. Garuda Airlines. So, he heard how they were making fun and torturing his little sister. And Garuda became very angry. Oh, what are they doing to my little sister? He came running, flying in there. And he approached that ocean. He said, "You better give those eggs back right now, or I'm going to destroy you." And the ocean knew he had met his match. He returned the eggs, he said. So you must be determined like the little sparrow to become Krishna conscious. Even though there seems to be impossible odds. How can I ever become the pure devotee? How could I ever become? I have so many distractions, so many desires. How could I ever become a pure devotee? Simply become determined like that little sparrow bird. That's it. That I must become the pure devotee. This is described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Padyavali. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatang yadi kuto pilabhyate Tattalayam abhimulyam ekalam janmakotir sukritayan labhyate. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and thousands and even millions of lifetimes. It can be attained only by paying one price. Tattalayam. That is the intense greed to attain it. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. And what's the purchasing price? What is the currency? Is it Australian dollar? Is it rupees? What is it? Shraddha. Faith. So you must put your faith in this process. Give your heart to this process with greediness to achieve the result. Intense greed that I must have Krishna Bhakti. I must have it. I've been suffering so many lifetimes, miserably suffering in this material world. I must get out. I must get out. I must get out now. I must. That sort of intensity, you see. If you have that sort of intensity, Krishna will bless you with Krishna consciousness. He will. So, are there any questions? Question?
Maharaj, you were talking about Krishna sending his messengers like acharyas and his pure devotees to rectify us. So, it happens in the beginning that when senior devotees, when they rectify us sometimes, we feel offended as a newcomer. So, how do we take their feedbacks positively? And so the mind says that you should, I mean, your false ego is there within us, and we have not been taking this message for a long time.
He says that when Krishna sends us to rectify, sends us the acharyas and senior devotees, so when they instruct us, sometimes we feel offended and we can take it so.
When they do what? When they instruct?
Yes. And the senior devotees, so how can we take it because the positive is in.
Yes. Well, the best thing is to remember what Srila Prabhupada says. He says, if you make a Brahmin angry, then you should pacify him with sweet words and a smiling face. In other words, if a senior devotee becomes angry at you, don't get angry back.
The thing is that the neophyte devotee feels offended. They cannot take it that the senior devotee is guiding them.
The neophyte devotee should, instead of becoming disturbed when he's given an instruction, you see, he should try to please that senior Vaishnava by a loving attitude. That's what it is.
Maharaj, could you please complete what you were saying about that Brahmin? How to please a Brahmin?
He's saying, can you continue how to please the Brahmin who gets angry?
Yeah. By loving service and submissive attitude. You can say, my dear Prabhu, my dear Maharaj, please forgive me if I've been any way offensive. I didn't mean to offend you. Please forgive me and bless me and instruct me how I can rectify myself. I am your student. Please tell me, please enlighten me how I can properly, what should be my proper attitude, my proper way of speaking, my proper way of acting. You please train me. I'm your student. In this way, you make yourself humble. And that, beg for guidance, humbly beg for guidance, instructions. Any other questions? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
You were talking about free will, that Krishna has given us free yes. will, that, and he has given opportunity and chance to misuse it, like for us. So is it also like happens sometimes that Krishna, like we want to use our free will, but Krishna has got another plan, and he can impose his plan, and sometimes the free will is not there also. Is it there, or the free will is always there, like for us only?
Krishna always gives us the choice to love him or leave him. That choice is always there. He never takes that choice away. For his servants, he may impose upon them a certain thing, like the Pandavas went into exile, for example. He may impose upon them certain things within their service to him. But they're not forced to remain his servants. If you work for the government, you have your assigned duties the government gives you. But if you decide not to work for the government, you want to work for the mafia instead, you could do that. You can work for the government or you can work for the mafia. It's your choice. You work for either party, they're going to tell you what to do. The government will tell you what to do, and the mafia will tell you what to do. Either way, you're under directions. But you always have the choice, whose directions do you want to be under? You want to be under the directions of the spiritual energy, or do you want to be under the directions of the material energy? You will always be under direction. That's a fact. But you always have the choice, which energy do I want to serve? The spiritual energy or the material energy? That free will you always have for all of eternity. Which energy will I serve? You always have that free choice. That is never taken.
Like Maharaj, in case when we are doing service, like only spiritual, if there is a question with only spiritual things when we are doing a service, sometimes we like we have a choice whether to do this or service or not, and sometimes we say also that Krishna has given me this service. So like sometimes like we don't want to do or like we want to do but like we do it and then we say Krishna has given me this service. So that is like if we consider only spiritual thing, then can we say that a free will, like Krishna has given me this service, it was not free will and I'm doing it? Or
No. You have Krishna does give you, so okay, you're my devotee now, do this. You have to do this. That's Krishna's dictation. It's coming down from Krishna through the parampara system. You must chant 16 rounds. Doesn't mean you can abandon the whole process any time you want. You have the free will, but the process is there. You have to chant 16 rounds, you have to follow the regulative principles, you have to accept the spiritual master, you have to follow his instructions. Those things are there, and that doesn't mean you don't have free will. There is a structured process of sadhana bhakti. There's 64 items that you have to do this, 64 different things you're supposed to be doing. Even my Rupa Goswami. And you can't say, well, my free will's been taken away. No, you voluntarily have chosen to follow this path of Krishna bhakti. The path is not, stop. Don't talk during, there shouldn't be talking during the lecture. You can talk after the lecture, not during the lecture. I'm taking away your free will to talk if you want to be Krishna conscious. No, I'm not taking it away. But there shouldn't be any side conversations. Prabhupada got chastised at Bhaktisiddhanta for talking during the lecture. That was the one time he got in trouble with his spiritual master. His spiritual master didn't like. And then some devotees one time were talking when Prabhupada was lecturing. And Prabhupada got very heavy. He said, "You are very much disturbing me." He got very heavy with him. Got very heavy. "And you are very much disturbing me." Yeah, there shouldn't be any talking going on. If you have questions, you can talk. Otherwise, you be quiet. And you listen. Listen. Now, there are direct orders coming down from the previous acharyas on how to practice Krishna consciousness. And that doesn't mean your free will is gone. It means there's a structured system. Let's say you decide to make some banana bread. Does that mean you have free will to make it any way you want to? No. I think I'll leave out the baking powder because I'm too lazy to walk to the store to get some. Well, you're going to have goo in the bottom of the pan. You're not going to have banana bread. You have the free will to make banana bread or not make banana bread. That free will you have. But you don't have free will to make it any way you want, because you're not. It's not going to come out as banana bread. You're going to get goo instead of banana bread. There's an authorized recipe for banana bread. Unless you follow the authorized recipe, you're not going to get banana bread. You can bake it or not bake it, but if you're going to bake it, you have to follow the system. So you want to be a devotee, you've got to follow the system. You have the free will to follow it or not, but if you agree to follow it, you have to follow the recipe given by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Those 64 items of how to bake your consciousness into pure bhakti. If you try to do it your own way, you're just going to get some goo in the bottom of the pan. Not going to get Krishna bhakti. Yeah. Yes.
Prabhuji, how do we get determined on a day-to-day basis?
How do we get what?
Determined.
Determination. Determined. Yeah, determined. The way to, it is called in Sanskrit, dridha vrata. How does one get that determination to always remain fixed in Krishna consciousness? Well, Prabhu, the first thing is this. You have to realize what are the options. You have to realize what are the consequences of not being determined in Krishna consciousness. If I am not determined in Krishna consciousness, then I must continue to suffer in the cycle of birth and death. Do you enjoy suffering? Do you want to become completely free from suffering? Then there's no choice. If you want to become free from suffering, you have to follow this process. If I'm dying from cancer and I go to the doctor, will I have the determination to follow his prescription? If I want to live, I will. If I want to die, no, I won't. So I'm asking you, do you want to live or do you want to die? Do you want to live or die? If you want to live, then you'll be determined. If you don't care about living, you don't care about gliding down to the animal kingdom in your next life, you won't be determined. I don't care. I just want to serve my senses. But if you realize what's going on, if you realize what the laws of nature are and how you're being crushed by the inexorable wheel of time, birth after birth after birth, if you realize that, you will be so determined that you can dry up the whole ocean like that sparrow. You see? With the help of Garuda, you'll be determined. Understand? Next question.
Krishna, or you have made any contact with the Supreme Person, with the Krishna?
What's he saying?
He's saying that can you give your any experiences?
Am I experiencing Krishna?
Yeah. Are you have some contact or some relationship?
Actually, I had my first experience with Krishna back in 1968, and I discovered Krishna. And my relationship with Krishna ever since then is beginning more and more amazing as the years go by. You seen the thought for the day? That picture of Radha Govinda there on the top. I discovered that Krishna. And that Krishna captured my heart. He very much captured my heart in 1968. So I've never lost my affection for that Krishna. And that relationship, that affectionate relationship with that Krishna, that is simply growing. By the mercy of Prabhupada, it's growing more and more as the years go by. Any other questions?
One more following question.
Following question.
Following question.
All right, let's hear it.
Can you describe the pastime of Krishna which you like the most?
Actually, this program tonight is a pastime of Krishna. I think it's pretty... I really like this program tonight. This is the pastime of Krishna. Krishna is present. It's like Krishna and the cowherd boys, you know, on the bank of the Jamuna. So Krishna is present right here in this program tonight, and it's a pretty amazing pastime. I always love coming to Bhakti Bhavam because Krishna is here, and it's the most amazing pastime of Krishna. Going every time I come here, it's the most amazing pastime of Krishna that I'm participating in. I always remember this place and I always look forward to coming there. Because I feel connected with Krishna when I come here. You see. You must be Krishna conscious. That's why I feel Krishna's presence here. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. But that seems like a very big hurdle for
big burden?
Big
hurdle. Hurdle. You want to know how to overcome the hurdle? Yeah. So, we have many, many material desires. So, they seem very big desires. So much calm, you see. So much material desire. So, desire cannot be killed. Desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. You cannot kill desire. The Buddhists, they want to kill desire to enter into nirvana. But that nirvana... That nirvana is only a temporary relief. Again, they fall back again to material sense gratification, desire, calm. If you want permanent nishkam, then you have to come to what Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, paramam nirvanam, that supreme nirvana that abides in Krishna. You see. So, that is nishkam. When you, instead of trying to kill desire, instead of trying to kill kam, you engage kam in the service of Krishna. Instead of being lusty to accumulate so much facility for sense gratification, you should be lusty to make the whole world Krishna conscious, for example. take desire and utilize it for Krishna. Don't try to be desireless. You'll never do it. But take desire and try and use it for Krishna. That's the key. A devotee has more, should have more desires than a materialist. That's the key. He, a devotee, has a desire that every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet shall become Krishna conscious. A rock star, you see, he wants to become, he wants to have, you know, 5 million fans or something like that. That's his desire. But the devotee, he has a bigger desire. He wants to make, bring everyone, he wants to impact the life of every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet, that they all become Krishna conscious. However powerful or influential the whatever desires for power and influence are there in the materialist, the devotee has a greater desire for power and influence for Krishna. You understand? So instead of killing kam, he transcendentalizes kam. In that way, he truly kills material desire. If you simply try to kill material desire, you'll never be able to do it. You have to put spiritual desire there, and then the material desire is immediately killed. That's the key. Is that understandable? Yeah. That's a fact. The devotee has more desire than karmi, actually. He has more desires than karmi, but they're all spiritual. Any other question? Yeah.
Just a follow-up to that.
Okay.
You know, in the light of, say, you know, what we said, what you just said, we try to have that kind of mindset, you know, so that we desire for Krishna or, you know, desire for Prabhupada,
mm-hmm.
or senior devotees.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are afraid, when we are a little bit concerned about our gain and safety. When the thoughts of gain and our personal gain and safety come.
Safety is allowed. That is your quota. One is allowed to make arrangements to live a healthy life. That much safety is one's quota. This body is not your body, it is Krishna's body, so you have to take good care of it. You have to keep your body in a healthy condition so you can go on serving Krishna. I'm working for a company and they give me a company car. Can I abuse that company car? Am I a good employee if I abuse the company car? No. I have to take very good care of that company car. If I'm a dutiful employee, I will take good care of the company car. So Krishna has given you a company car, that body. So you're meant to keep that body in a safe condition, safe and healthy condition. That is your duty as an employee. It is not your personal desire, it's your desire to please the company. It's your desire to please Krishna. Do you do that? You understand? Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's a married man. He said, I am earning money to support Krishna's household. He didn't quit his job. He worked very expertly and made very good income. You know, he was such a valued employee at the British government. You've seen his house in Mayapur. Yes. Do you know why that railway goes there? They built that railway because Bhaktivinoda Thakur could come to work. The British government put that railway in. Just, he was such a valuable employee, they put the railway to his house. He was so treasured employee of the British government. But he was dovetailing everything in Krishna's service. Even the British government got dovetailed. I'd be holding him a red. He did very expert. He was the most expert employee of the British government. They very much counted on him. You see. So, but it was all for Krishna. It was all in Krishna's service. He didn't take, I am the Lord of this house, this is my wife, these are my kids. No, it's all, they're all Krishna's servants, and my duty is to serve them by helping them to become Krishna conscious. That was his mentality. Grihastha ashram, not Grihamedi dark wealth. Any other question? Yeah.
Gurudev, what is the best technique to deal with unwanted thoughts, desires, ideas?
Yes. If I have unwanted thoughts, desires, and ideas, I just have to become more aggressive to fill myself up with thoughts, ideas that are Krishna conscious. Prabhupada has given us the mission. He said to us disciples, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. I mean, what could be a bigger desire than turning history, human history, upside down? Rewriting the whole human history. What could be a greater desire than to lead the whole world out of chaos? So, the devotee who's actually dutifully accepting the instructions given by the spiritual master, he's thinking, how can I deliver the entire suffering humanity? He doesn't have time for anything else is a waste of time. He has so much work to do. It reminds me, one godbrother, Bharadvaj Prabhu, he was a very, very gifted artist. Many paintings, actually, are his that we see BBT art there his work. So, Bhakti, don't sit like he sits still. You don't need to do all these things. Just hear nicely, and you become supercharged with bliss. So, Srila Bhakti said unto Sarasvati Thakur, used to use the dioramas, three-dimensional exhibits, to explain the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. There's a whole art of, in Bengal, of using clay and straw to make dioramas. So Prabhupada wanted that our ISKCON men should learn this diorama making. So he had Bharadvaj Prabhu, along with some others like Adidev Prabhu, come to Mayapur to learn from the Bengali craftsmen how this Bengali art of diorama making. They also do it like at Durga Puja. They make Durga deities out of clay and straw, and then they immerse them in the river after it. Completely biodegradable. So anyway, they came to Mayapur, Bharadvaj Prabhu, Adidev Prabhu, and some others. So Bharadvaj had his meeting with Prabhupada. He was given his assignment, his duty. So he left Prabhupada's room, and he was walking down the hallway there, and he ran into a devotee he knew from years and years ago. Now he was a Swami, Devananda Swami. Oh, Maharaj, it's so nice to see you. They're just talking for a minute or two, and all of a sudden, Prabhupada's servant came down, and he said, Maharaj, Prabhupada wants to see you right now. So immediately ran back to Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada said, I have given you so many things to do. I've given you a very, very big assignment. I don't think you have the time to stand around and talk. He was talking for like 60 seconds with Devananda. Transcendental shooting the breeze, you know, how you been, what's going on, that kind of stuff. Prabhupada nipped it. Can you imagine? How Prabhupada wanted to be intense. Now I've given you this assignment. Now you must focus completely on making this a success with no diversions. So Prabhupada has given us the duty. We have to make this whole planet Krishna conscious. We don't have time for Maya, for nonsense thoughts. We don't have time. It's like Haridas Thakur, you know. The prostitute came, she took off all her clothes, she's dancing in front of him. Beautiful young woman. Can you imagine how heavy that would be? You're all alone, a beautiful young woman is begging you for sex pleasure. Whew, heavy. And he said, yes, my dear girl, I will certainly satisfy you, but first, let me finish chanting my round. And he never finished. 3 nights he never finished, but she became, her material plot became finished. Actually, the Muslims sent her. Because here was one of our own men, one of our own Muslims, he's become a Hindu saint. It's a disgrace. It's a horrible thing. A Muslim has become a Hindu saint. All the Hindus are bowing down to him. One of our own Muslim people, we must make him fall down, you see. It was a plot for the Muslim to destroy his reputation. It didn't work for him. The prostitute became a pure devotee. Because he had more important things to do than mess around with a pretty young girl, you see. More important work to do. So, there's so many pretty young girls of the mind that want to divert us away from Krishna consciousness. Yes, yes, yes. Once we make the world Krishna conscious, then I'll think about it. When all the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we can sit back and relax. Till then, we got a marathon going on here. Until every single high court judge on this planet is wearing Vaishnava tilak, we have a marathon going on right here. 24-hour-a-day marathon. Until then, we don't have so much time to sit back and relax. So, it's getting a little late. So we'll stop here, and we thank you so much for participating in this wonderful mission of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His Grace Srimad Sankarsan Dasa Thakura Maharaj ki
jai.